You're with Sounds Good, our midday music and community conversation program. I'm Austin Carter, joined in studio by Kate Lochte and by phone with Jim Claypool.
Mr. Claypool, Jim, thank you for being here. Happy New Year. Let's make sure our audience knows that you are a Kentucky Humanities Council presenter, and you brought to our attention a really important man, right, who lived in our midst in Greenville, and he was famous because of the Battle of New Orleans.
Right, Kate. Well, he's a very special person, and tragically, he hasn't gotten the acclaim he should have gotten. His name was Ephraim Brank. He was born originally in North Carolina, but moved to Muhlenberg County, Greenville, in Muhlenberg County in 1808. And the interesting thing about it was he did a number of things. He was a lawyer, and he was a surveyor, and he was a farmer. But where he would make his mark in history was the fact that a kinsman of his, who was a Kentucky congressman, would raise 3 companies of militia to fight at the Battle of New Orleans. And, of course, Kentuckians at this particular time thought the War of 1812 was their war because at stake was the Mississippi River.
And actually, the war had had ended prior to this battle.
Right. Henry Clay and a delegation of Americans met at Ghent and signed a treaty. But, of course, we didn't have Walter Cronkite there to tell us that the treaty had been signed, and I'm not sure either side would have cared either way. And what people overlook about this battle is an extremely interesting battle. It was fought January 8th in 1815 after the treaty had been signed in December. Was that if we lost this battle, then probably all the things that we'd hoped to gain having won the war, or at least gone to a draw in the war, would have been lost because the British would have absolutely claimed the Mississippi Territory. And the other thing that's often overlooked is the British didn't send in the second team. They sent their very best. These were the veterans of Waterloo, and they were commanded by a general by the name of Lord Pakenham, who was none other than the brother-in-law of the Iron Duke, Lord Wellington.
Well, set the scene for the battle. It's pretty spectacular.
Yes, it is. It was commanded the American troops militia from Tennessee and Kentucky, along with a contingent from Lafitte the pirate out of New Orleans, set themselves behind cotton bales there at the Battle of New Orleans. And, of course, the British were not very clever. They used European tactics, and they advanced with drums and bagpipes dressed in red and white, which one American later commented was the color of a perfect target. And up standing on the breastworks, which were a little more than cotton bales, was Ephraim Brank, Lieutenant Ephraim Brank. And at this time, you didn't shoot officers. It was thought to not be sporting to shoot officers, but I guess Brank understood the importance of officers in advancement in command. And he had a long rifle. The British were armed with what they were called Brown Betsies, but they only shot about half as far as a long rifle. And there was a report from one of the few surviving officers. All the British officers of the rank of captain and above were killed in this battle. Only a few lieutenants survived. And Brank stood there with his long rifle, and as the British were advancing, the officers were not worried because the distance was so great. After he shot his first shot, they were really worried because he stood there and systematically picked off 21 British officers.
Why did they not? Oh, they couldn't return fire effectively because their arms did not have the distance capability.
That's right. They were just half the distance in range, and, of course, the American just could stand up there. And as soon as he started picking them off, then, of course, other long riflemen from Kentucky. Kentuckians were known as half alligators and half men at those days. They were fierce and fighting men. Interesting, though, there was a great deal of friction between the Kentucky contingent and Andrew Jackson. And later, the Kentucky contingent was quite bitter about some of the things said about them by Jackson, and they obviously supported Henry Clay after that.
Well, what did Jackson say?
Jackson thought that the Kentuckians were not doing their duty. They were not military-like, and there were a few Kentuckians that disappeared during the battle. The battle was the most devastating and decisive battle in American history on either the South American or North American continent. The British would lose over 2,000 casualties in this particular battle, and the Americans lost 12 or 13, and one of those probably had run away during the battle.
Pretty amazing. And the account that exists written by one of the people in the target zone for Ephraim Brank is so haunting.
Yes, it is. And there are other accounts, and one of them said every time he shot, one of us dropped. That was it. And it was clearly a decisive moment. If you take away the command officers during a battle, that's going to turn the battle itself. And the casualties were just enormous. And what historically this did was to assure that America's claims later, of course, to the West were not challenged by the British. And that was a decisive thing. And here stands one Kentuckian, Ephraim Brank, who did this. And then, of course, later he went home like everybody else did, continued his life. There's a street there in Greenville named after him. He lived just out of town, and he's buried right there in the city cemetery in Greenville. And, Kate, you know, in Kentucky, we dig them up, or we write a ballad about them, or we do both. And in the case of Ephraim Brank, they wrote the Ballad of Ephraim Brank.
Can you sing it for us?
No, I can't sing it. I could sing, but I don't know the melody. I heard it one time, and I'd like to get a copy of it if anybody has it. It's probably in the Smithsonian or in some collection. But we write ballads about everybody. We write ballads about Jesse James and a horse. We write ballads about horses. We write ballads. And ballads, of course, are meant to remember things, but also it's the verses of ballads when you keep taking the chorus and repeating it that allows you to remember the ballad.
Sure enough. Well, this man, Ephraim Brank, really is a hero and a skilled gentleman across the board in such a way that we're not accustomed to anymore.
No, we're really not. And Kentucky had an enormously rich military history. We have, proportionate to our population, for instance, more Medal of Honor winners than any other state. We had more generals during the Civil War from Kentucky, proportionate to our population, than any other state. So we've had this longstanding military heritage here in Kentucky, and it's not going away. I mean, it's very unusual for Kentuckians to worry about being drafted because they'd volunteer.
And, you know, perhaps my statement was one of those glittering generalities that a listener will say, hey, I know someone of equal merit today, and I'm sure that's the case, so I'd like to make that clear. And, Mr. Claypool, I thank you for bringing Ephraim Brank to our attention. I hope that you have other Kentuckians we can talk about in the future.
I certainly do. And while I'm thinking of it, I'd like to say a special hello to all my friends in Murray, the Hammocks and the Cool Chicks, and Dan Knowles and his wife. They're good people down there in Western Kentucky, and I certainly had to do some soul searching before I left there, but I had an opportunity to come up to Northern Kentucky State College, and that's what I decided to do.
Well, thanks again. We'll talk to you soon, and enjoy the day.
You too, Kate. Thank you for calling.
Mr. Jim Claypool was a teacher at Murray State University for a while, way back, and then got involved in Northern Kentucky University when it first began, and we're glad that he will speak with us from time to time.
That was excellent. Thank you, Kate. You're with Murray State's WKMS. We sound good because of listeners like you.